At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello! Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name's Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we're going to be talking about all things pop culture and probably mostly the amazing, amazing day that we all celebrated last week in Taylor Nation. Swifties rise up. Wow. I was gagged. If you remember, you guys, we literally postponed, like we swapped our episodes last week because I was so certain that something was going to happen at the AMAs that like would need, as I said, hard-hitting journalism would require like us to get on the mic, get on the horn right away. And then we
it
were
is
clowned.
So, like, imagine how much she was laughing at, like, because what were we seeing? Like, I mean, I remember going back to her Nashville, like, as soon as Speak Now was announced in Nashville during the Eras tour, right after, I feel like we went right into, like, we thought Rep was coming before 1989. Yeah. Like, the Easter eggs have seen the most, like, I feel like we've seen more Easter eggs for Rep than we have for any of the other things. And now it's like, okay, we really are just, and I don't say we, I'm not going to say we. A lot of Swifties, they've got
Run
the wheels turning in ways that we gotta
they,
maybe
hey,
get on
a lot
luck,
of Swifties,
but I do think,
love you guys, a lot of Swifties need crate time. And that's
majorly,
just the truth.
Majorly. And, or they need to be, like, working for the CIA. Because tell
yeah.
me why
oh, sure.
someone was able to trace when the photos were taken, and they were taken at the end of March.
I know, we need to be better
First
utilizing
of all, who,
the Swifties.
Who even, like, this is how I know they're so smart, is, like, I wouldn't even have had the thought of, like, when was this taken?
Yeah.
And I know I can, like, find that information through the pixels.
I know. The other thing, so either she was laughing or in my mind, girl was stressing. In my mind, girl was like, fuck, okay, they are freaking the fuck out. And like, I
They are
feel
like bringing viewership for the AMAs up big
yeah,
time.
And
I don't like going to that award show.
This was not what I wanted. This was not what I wanted. I feel like there is a part of her that was like, oh my God. Like, because I started to get that feeling you get when it's like, I'm like, is she going to drop it at all? Like, I sort of was like, what if she just doesn't drop it? What happens then? And so I was wondering if she was kind of stressing out. Like, if the AMAs was sort of like, okay, I fucking have to say something. Or was this just the first day she was allowed to talk about it? Like, do we know the details of
that?
So the details are, she purchased the masters from Shamrock, what?
Holdings.
Shamrock Holdings for, we believe, $360 million.
Which is like $100 million less than they bought it for.
Because basically she was trying to make it like worthless, right?
Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. I do think one other thing that I'm like, it's so funny that now it seems so obvious. Of course she's not recording Reputation. Of course she's not. Like, now that she's not with Joe and we got Tortured Poets and like we got Midnights even, you know what I mean? Like, we got these songs, even though obviously a lot of the focus was on Maddie when the Tortured Poets stuff came out. Like, there were some very telling
Well, it's
songs
also
about
just
Joe.
Like, it's so different than the other albums because, first of all, there was such a break between 1989 and Reputation mm-hmm. where even though there are emotional songs on her other albums, the time that's passed has been so long. But also, even though Reputation came out 8 years ago or however long it's been, she was in that relationship for, like, it's not like it was like a relationship she had and she wrote all those songs and it was like a
yeah.
quick, it was a short lived relationship. That was like,
yeah.
Yeah. I, and also I was worried about Reputation, Taylor's version.
I know you are.
Just because I feel like the quality of the Taylor's versions went down every time she released one. Fearless is actually perfect, which is why I want yeah. debut so badly. And it makes sense because you record something like that in Nashville and the session players and they can play it exactly how it sounds right. in the original version. And she has a better voice now than she did. So of course right. those record. And that's why most of Red's also sounds good, even though yeah. I am really happy to have the original All Too Well back because yes. I much well, prefer that version.
There
to
was a tweet Taylor's I saw that version. Was like, you cannot recreate the sound of a teenager's scorned voice. Like, mm-hmm. and that is true where it's like, there is something so cathartic about listening to somebody singing these feelings as she's feeling them, you know? Right. And that's exactly. part of also why the Eras tour was so work. Amazing. You know what I mean? Because we were like, and we didn't, maybe didn't know at the time, but it was like something, we were watching her in the throes of what she was going through, mm-hmm. singing songs that she wrote about her life and moments that she was potentially mourning, you know? Right. And like it, there's something so electric about that like really, I think deepens the connection fans feel to the music. So it's like that, you know, it also just like to sing it as a more measured, tempered adult, it just is going to sound different. And also what, you know, there are a lot of like famous singers who have not done vocal training, and I'm not talking about you, Renee Rapp, but there are a lot of singers who like don't have trained voices, and that's one of the reasons people love them, because yeah. their voices sound chaotic unique. And weird, and they have the imperfections. And like, as much as people are like, she's a bad singer, that's what Taylor had at that time, and it's more interesting to listen to as mm-hmm. well. Whereas now I feel like she's so established, she can sing in her more established voice, and we're more interested in what she is saying, not how she's saying it. But when we're talking about re-recording words that we already know, we're going to be right. more interested in like,
and we know all that we've had these songs for so like, I that's 1989 for me was when I was like, I don't like, I'm worried. Yeah. I don't have to, only because for two reasons. One, that's when her voice started. She just got more creative vocally. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't yeah. like she was just singing country music anymore. Yeah. It was like, she was doing different things, and there are little details that we've had so much time to like, we know exactly how she sounds on every word basically. Right. And also the magic that she and Jack had making those two albums. I just don't think the songs would feel or sound. And that's why like this, just the entrance of the intro of Style, like it just yeah. didn't hit this. That's not Jack right. Antonoff, but like, it just didn't feel the same. It didn't feel crisp like the yes. original did. And I think I was worried that with Reputation, I just think pop music is harder to recreate in the way that she's having to re-record mm-hmm. all of her stuff, which is why I think Debut will work.
I just don't think she was gonna get all those people to come back either. Like, not that she could, like if anyone could, it's her, but like,
but she needed Blake Lively's kid.
Well, that's another thing. Do you think she's like, no, thank God about that?
No, I don't think so.
You know, people are saying it. You well, know what some people are saying. You know what the streets are saying.
What streets are also saying is the idea, which I find so funny, is the idea of Taylor being a scammer in all of this.
Wait, yeah, elaborate.
People have started, Swifties and non-Swifties alike, have started to be like, wow, she really just like did all of this, made us all like spend all this money, and she's not even like finishing the thing. And it's just like a gross misunderstanding of like what's happening here.
Yeah.
And this completely like overlooking, I don't know, just dumbing it down to like, it's just, you're not understanding what the issue was then if you think it was all just right. cash. She didn't care if people listened to this. She made that clear from the beginning. Like, yes. obviously she did the rollouts and everything because Swifties asked for it and wanted mm-hmm. it.
Yes.
But it's like, she was doing this so that she could own her work.
Yeah.
And now she does.
Right.
That was the goal. Now she doesn't
need to. She did finish the thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she finished it. Just, she was, I think what happened is there's a misunderstanding on her end. She's like, I'm getting to the finish line by any means possible. So I will either devalue my masters so that no one can have like the real value, or I will get them back somehow. And I think she just didn't express that was another option. You know what I mean? So everyone believed. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's not like we're not going to get more music from Taylor. It's yeah, not
and
like,
and I think
this
she will
the end of her
vault
recording
tracks.
Music. I think she will too. I think it's just, she got to the end. And honestly, the more I thought about it, the more I've gone back and listened to Rep and like just some of the words.
I don't think she could have done it.
I'm like, and listening to performances, like seeing the performances of her even like crying, singing Lover at the Eras tour. Like, I don't know how she, I don't think she'd be, would have been able to do that. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, and especially there was a, someone played when she did Call It What You Want as a surprise song. And she's changed the lyrics to Starry Eyes, something, Starry Eyes Fucking Up My Darkest Nights instead of,
I didn't know that. My darkest
nights. Yeah, and so I just saw that the other day, and like, and they're like, and she never did it again. Like she, like, and she, and they're like, the video of her singing, she's all these little like head nods. All she, like, she was like fighting to get through that fucking song. And I think also like being in a relationship, you make a good point where you're like, a lot of her relationships prior, I know obviously Calvin Harris was more substantial, but she was so young that I think like, Joe is by far her deepest relationship. And yes, she sung about all these other relationships, but to say that they had the same impact on her.
And it's, you know, just more recent because the relationship was so long.
Right.
Like, and she so wrote these songs a long time ago, but they were right. about the person that she's been with.
And now she's in a relationship where she's probably feeling similar levels of that like deep love. And she's like, I can't, how am I going to go sing this whole album about my last person when I'm like, I don't want to be like immersed in that anymore. I want to be immersed in this, like moving forward and whatever. So I get it. And I do think, you know, she said, someone was like, it's so poetic. Her saying in Miss Americana, I think she says, I just have to make a better album. Like, mm-hmm. okay, it wasn't nominated for any Grammys. I just have to make a better album. And now she's saying that's the only album that cannot be improved upon by re-recording. It's like, we love I love
the transparency of, to be completely honest, I'm not even a quarter of the way done with it.
And I'm like, that's why I thought she was panicking. That's why I was like, what if she's like, oh my God, the date's creeping up. Everyone's like thinking, because imagine the stress. Imagine how stressful would feel.
Imagine Tree.
Oh, Tree's like, Tay, clock's ticking. And like, imagine when you're, okay, let's put ourselves in Taylor's shoes. Obviously, we're going to scale it down a little bit.
Easy to do.
No problem. We're going to scale it down a little bit. But imagine like, you have a paper coming up and mom knows about it and you know about it and you're like so stressed. It's finals. You have a million things going on, like blah, blah, blah. And mom just keeps being like, Fee, how's the paper coming? You're like, oh my God, shut up. And then like other people are talking about the paper and like your friends at school are talking about the paper. And you're like, can we all stop talking about the fucking paper?
Everybody's like, man, I heard Phoebe's paper is going to be so good. No. I can't wait to read it.
Okay, F off. You know when there was a big paper everyone at school was talking about their own. They're just talking about writing it. And it's like, I was making it more about Taylor. Okay, fine. But yeah, so it's just like, imagine that feeling and then make it about, yeah, Taylor. It's just crazy to think of the stress you would feel of these people wanting this that you know you haven't even started to re-record, really. I would be stressed.
I'm stressed thinking about it.
I'm so excited. I was so thrilled to get to go back and listen to Better Than Revenge, the original. And someone commented and was like, yeah, slut shaming Taylor. She changed the lyrics for a reason, guys. And I said, yeah, and it pissed us off. And she said, well, good thing it wasn't written for you, with the nose blow emoji. And I respond and I said, so anyway, go stream slut shaming version Better Than Revenge. Like, shut up. We all forgave her. It's fine. She was fucking 16. I was also slut shaming at that age. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I was 16, but still.
Who cares?
Like, I'm over it. I don't care. It's so fun to listen to and sing it. And that's why Phoebe and I will be doing a cover of it. Yeah.
And
you're
welcome. Better than Moth to the Flame. So,
oh my God. That didn't even remotely hit the same. That was like, and she knew it. And hey, Taylor.
You can sing the new version now.
Please, God. Anyway, so do you think we're going to get another album? Because we've got the new little icon in the letter. And then people were counting how many I's she put in this. And there are 12 of them. And then people were also saying she was wearing a lavender shirt and her nails were lavender. So they think that's the next color. What are
I'm not interested in speculating.
Since when?
Not on this.
Not on this, on this podcast? Because that's like our whole thing.
That's
what we do here.
I'm just tired of I want her to have some time away.
Okay.
More time
away.
Hey,
Fee. It's fun to talk about on the podcast. That's why I'm talking about
it. I know, but I haven't even thought about it.
It's not a fun conversation for you to be like, I'm not into that. So let's talk about what people are saying, okay? It is fun to talk about. Hey, actually, yes, it is. Hope this helps. I would love for it. Some people are saying the background of the letters obviously is gold. It's glitter. And they're like, glitter on the floor after the party. What if we get it on New Year's Day? New page, Taylor's new album, Taylor Swift 12.
That would be crazy. I hope not, though. I don't want.
Why?
I don't want it yet. We need a little more time, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I was nervous about her having to do two. I mean, I'm relieved
she announced
that she's not having
an album. If she announced an album on New Year's Day, that would be too soon for you. You're going to get tarred and feathered, by the way.
But that's fine by me. That's fine by me.
She's brave, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
You really think that would be too soon?
Well, I'm fine waiting a little bit longer. I just am. It seems like she is enjoying having time off. That was the vibe I got, especially from the energy of the photo shoot. I don't think there were Easter eggs in that photo shoot.
No, I agree. But I still think, I mean, yeah, I know she's enjoying her time off. I'm not disputing that she
why are we
that again.
Fighting just,
because you're annoying me because you're bad at yes and that's why
Caroline goes back and
I bring something
I'm
up
do
you,
yes
no I'm no I don't I'm pretty much firmly on the you're not good at it because here's the deal. Do you think I'm not sitting over here poring over the Easter eggs because I think we're getting it. I'm doing it because it's good Potter. It's good to talk about in the podcast. I bring it up to you. You say, I can't talk about that. And the next thing you're like, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. So anyway, I guess Phoebe's done talking about this then. So moving on to whatever you want to talk about, your personal business.
Yeah, get out of here. Well, I did want to say, suddenly I had a revelation last night. Suddenly we watch HBO Girls and Lena Dunham's booked. Lena Dunham is booked and busy now. We start talking about Girls. No, she's writing that show that Natalie Portman, Mark Ruffalo, and Role Model are going to be in, and the musical with Carly Rae Jepsen. She hasn't been working.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, with Carly Rae Jepsen.
Now that... that... See, here's the deal. The show will be great, I'm sure. The 10 Things I Hate About You isn't new. Sorry, Phoebe. That has been... since before we were
for
watching
a couple
Girls.
Months though
I think before that
we started it was around when we did our Girls pilot.
Okay, I'm just saying I've been hearing about it, but it might have been
with her name attached.
I don't remember right now, but I've been
but that's
about
what I'm
this...
saying about her.
Okay,
keep going. You were just
no you
can't just...
you just keep talking, so I'm done now. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that the Lena Dunham, that's the point I'm making, is that we watched Girls and now because they did paper, whatever that thing that posts what everybody's doing, they posted that Lena Dunham was attached to it right around when we started watching Girls. And then this show with Natalie Portman also gets announced. And I just think our impact can't be overlooked here.
And I think that's smart. And it's true. It is because we're watching it. What I was trying to say about the musical is that I don't know if I was hearing it as in like the way that Broadway musicals are talked about, where like I would say I hear about a lot of the Broadway musicals before it hits the general public just through like whispers of people talking about projects happening or seeing it on different Broadway things. So I just think I've seen the 10 Things I Hate About You. In my mind, I've been seeing it for a long time, and I think I was not interested as much in Lena Dunham because I wasn't watching Girls. So I was like not really like I wasn't as like enamored with the idea because I still think I had a bad taste in my mouth about her. But now that I've watched it, that's like so much more exciting to me. And now I can't remember if like before I also knew that. I just remember that I heard about the musical and I think I heard that it was Carly Rae Jepsen, which even that wasn't like enough because I was like, here's the deal. I love that movie. But honestly, if I had, and this is crazy to say on the air, but if I had to choose someone to do it, I think I'm choosing Lena Dunham, the voice of our generation.
And she
Sorry,
is. And we just have
she
to
She
like,
is.
She is.
Sorry.
You
she
can't watch that
is.
Show and think that she's not. And that's why I'm so excited for this show with it's Natalie Portman is, I think, is playing a couples therapist who is single. It's kind of giving The Materialist, the new Dakota Johnson movie, which I'm so, we should talk about that because that trailer. Wait, you haven't seen the trailer?
No.
Oh,
no.
My gosh. Okay, put a pin in that. Anyway, okay. The Lena Dunham thing is giving a similar thing, but you don't know what that is, so I'll explain it later. But she's like single, but she's a couples therapist. And she kind of gets introduced to Mark Ruffalo, who's obviously age appropriate. And they like kind of are, she's having to decide between having an age appropriate thing and then role model, you know, the singer role model.
Yeah.
He is playing like a young guy who Natalie Portman meets, and like she's having to choose between.
Oh, wow. Like,
that's going to be the dynamic of the
fun.
Show.
Fun.
Like the three of the most beautiful people alive.
Hey, Natalie, I'm just going to say it now. Choose Ruffalo. If you fair don't enough. Choose Ruffalo.
But the the movie with Dakota, it's Dakota Johnson, Pedro Pascal, and Chris Evans. It's called The Materialists. It's A24. It's going to be incredible. And it's bringing back trailers. Voiceover trailer.
I love a good trailer. I really do. Again, but it's giving, recession core. Recession core.
It is giving that, but it's that classic voice of like Lucy's
in
this
a world.
And like,
oh yeah, no, like, yes, I know.
And it's very like traditional rom-com.
It's like the
trailer.
Narrator trend on TikTok.
Exactly.
Right now.
And she plays a like professional matchmaker, but she can't seem to make it work. She can't seem to make her relationships work, and she meets
Pedro Pascal.
Oh,
so it's giving rom-com.
Yes, and he like wines and dines her, and then Chris Evans is her old flame, and he like is working a wedding that they're at together or whatever, and they have to like, it's gonna be so good. But like literally, they just released an alternative trailer, and it's like the narrator's talking and it's showing the prices of like all these things that are being used, like cup of coffee. Like I don't know how to explain it in a way that it's going to make it, you understand why it's so iconic, but that movie's going to be so fucking good.
When is it coming out?
I think this month.
Oh, fun.
This summer for sure. They've been teasing it for so long, and we got the first trailer like last month, maybe April. I don't know, but it's going to be good.
I turned on a Spotify day list last night just to see like what it was. I haven't been listening to it in a while, but I couldn't decide what I wanted to listen to. So I was like,
the worst.
My day list. I'm just going to do that. So I go turn it on and it literally was like recession. Like recession.
Mine said that
the
other day too.
I was like, holy shit. But the songs were all like current. They were all like 2024, 2025. And I was like, all right, so we're just calling it that. Okay, great. All right, so
Spotify is the new like Federal Reserve. They determine
literally
when we're in a recession. I have been in that same mood of like not really knowing what to listen to, but I have been on a real like 2010s indie kick. Like I have a playlist just like Phoenix, Passion Pit, The Naked and Famous.
Okay, well, you're itching to rewatch Gossip Girl like I am.
Well, I one of them is just I do have a playlist. It's just like songs that indie, like songs like young folks that would be in a Gossip Girl. Montage.
I mean, the soundtrack of Gossip Girl.
I don't know how
was
they did it.
So I don't know how
CW must have some like crazy thing going on, because I just saw a TikTok about Riverdale's sync too. Sorry, Mary Beth Roan. Needle drops, not their, not their sinks. I can see the comments now. But they literally like, how you're telling me they got the rights to Heather's the musical, Carrie the musical, Beyonce's
no,
Daddy Lessons right after it came out.
Mad
World. You cleared by a record label, Mad World, where a high school student is doing a strip tease to get into a gang.
No, that is crazy. Because when I think about it for Gossip Girl, for a second, I was trying to problem solve. How did they do this? And I was like, well, a lot of those, they put them on the map. And that was when it was like people, a lot of people found music through television shows. I don't feel like they do it the same way these days. Probably because, and honestly, I bet labels got smarter, you know, with how hard it was to get. I bet it wasn't always like such a challenge, because I feel like a lot of these shows were doing it, but specifically Gossip Girl, but they used a lot of that like indie, like Matt and Kim. They used so much Matt and Kim. They used Passion Pit. They used songs that were like not underground, but like they were just on the cusp of being popular. It was like, which somebody heard it and was like that will be a huge song. It just isn't yet. Put it in Gossip Girl and then it will be.
Bring back
Matt and Kim.
Matt and Kim, but Walk the Moon circa like 2012. Before Shut Up and Dance. Anna Sun, Shiver Shiver. Those songs.
To all of that. It makes me think of driving to the movie theater that I worked at in the Honda Civic.
It makes me think of driving in the Honda Civic.
The one song that I always would listen to when I drove was I think it was Take a Walk.
Passion Pit.
Yeah,
that song goes so crazy.
I fucking loved it, and it was like such a good song to listen to when it was dark and it's like late on your way home from the movie theater. Oh my god, it can just put me right back there. It can just, and actually, Phoebe, last night I was driving home, so I went to go see a play last night at a theater I'm on the board of. Yeah, story of my life. I see so much theater. No, literally, though, that is what I thought to myself last night. I was like, that is the one thing also about like my actual job working in the arts. It's like, I love being able to be like, oh, what did I do this weekend? Well, I saw a play. I'm supporting our industry, like blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I saw that Da Vinci Code play and it was really good. And anyway, I'm driving home from it, though. And you know that drive home from that theater is like...
It's so good.
Vibes. And
that was like the first long drive I feel like we were ever allowed to do. Like down that
strip. I know. It was. And it was... I used to love it. And...
Because it was the closest we could get to the highway without...
Yes.
Being on
the highway. 30 minutes there. So you could like listen to like a lot of music loud. And it was like... The speed limit was like 40, 45. So you didn't have to go like 25. It was like perfect. And... Last night I was driving home and I just turned on all these like indie hits from like that time. But then I was listening to also songs that just give me that feeling, but they're not from like the 2010s, like Ethel Kane and like shit like that. Like, except for, I'm sorry, I don't like Perverts.
I can't think of which one. Her new album. I don't.
It's the whole.
No, I haven't listened to it.
Oh, well, I'll just tell you right now, every song is like 13 minutes long. And I'm sorry, but for me, I can't listen to that.
It's not my favorite.
It's not like an easy. I just don't like it.
It's not easy listening, which I guess is her whole thing. But I like some of her songs. I'm not like a huge Ethel Kane stan.
I'm getting like deeper into it. But like Ethel Kane, Annie DeRusso, Lord. I mean, Lord is perpetually that vibe. Yeah. But like I've been listening to a lot of Lord lately. Again, just getting back into.
She's getting so back good.
Into her. I love Man of the Year. Do you love?
Me too. I love it too. I like it more. Well, I love the way she's singing. It's so different. I feel like than anything we've really heard. It's giving a little bit of like Liability Sister in a way.
Yes,
like
I thought the same.
The way she's talking, the way she sings is very similar. It's so like it feels like she's just sitting on a stool with a microphone in her hand, just like kind of hunched over, just like very easily singing. She sounds great on it. I wish it was a little longer. I wish it was, and I don't think it is, but it feels like the first song of an album, and it kind of is like an intro, end of the world, the Ariana Grande. It feels like it's short enough, and then it like builds enough to get you into the rest of the album.
Yeah.
But I'm happy thinking that the whole album will sound like a hybrid between what was that.
Oh my God. I know. I'm very happy with that. I could not be more pleased. I am really thrilled.
We haven't heard drums like that really on a Lord song.
No.
Like ever?
Oh, you're right. We really have. I'm like
it's
playing
Dan Nigro. Right, I don't know if Dan Nigro worked on that one, but that sounds very Dan. It sounds very Olivia.
Olivia like, Rodrigo. Yeah. Those big, totally.
Those dirty drums. Yeah.
Speaking of, I did my hair the way allegedly Olivia Rodrigo's hairstylist does her hair, and it was a hit on our close friend story. I'll just say that.
I saw
it.
Yeah. You were getting so many nods.
So many people were like, oh my god. Just kidding. But guys,
little do you know, Caroline is sitting in a charred house right now because
you know I might as well be, because you have to switch between two hot tools. Okay, so it's your curling iron and then your crimper, and you do like every other piece, and it actually did look so good. Mom was like, how did you do this? She loved it. But Anthony came into my studio afterwards and he was like, is it smoky in here? Because like literally the room was like full of smoke from my hair. And my hair reeked. I was like, I smell bad. Like every time I like turn my head, I can smell the burnt hair. My hair was also really dirty. So it had a lot of product in it.
Oh, okay. Well, I wonder how they do it.
I don't know. But I mean,
maybe that's just how she smells.
I think the smell was a result of all the products though.
Olivia Rodrigo smells like burnt hair.
Yeah, there you go. We said it.
Just like Leslie Stone said about Hannah. I don't want to talk to this bag of hair.
This bag of burnt hair. Anthony and I, as you know, are watching Gossip Girl his first time. And we got to the season 3 finale last night. And I'm sorry. It's one of the best episodes of television, I'm going to say. So much happens in this episode. I was like, this episode is crazy. He was like, more crazy than the Thanksgiving episode where Vanessa says, and what makes you an expert to her mom after she says kids. Vanessa goes, and what makes you an expert? When you think all the drama's dead, Vanessa throws that. I cannot fucking stand Vanessa. Oh, I can't stand her. Anyway, in the season, and sorry, spoilers if you haven't seen Gossip Girl, but season 3 finale, here's what happens. It is the episode where Chuck says, Blair, I'm going to the top of the Empire State Building with peonies. If you're not there by 7 o'clock, I will close my heart to you forever. And she says, I won't be there. And she goes, Dorota gives birth. So Blair ends up being late. Serena and Dan kiss, cheating on Nate and Vanessa. And everyone finds out because Jenny takes a picture of Serena and Dan in bed together and sends it to Gossip Girl, who, by the way, hey, Dan, why'd you publish it? Hey, Dan, why'd you do that?
Because he's a journalist with integrity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jenny gets caught dealing drugs by her father and also trying to break up Rufus and Lily's marriage. We find out that Lily, who has been allegedly like had cancer this entire time, she doesn't actually have it. Her ex-husband's making her sick to try to get back into the family. And then Serena fucking falls for it and runs away. And he runs away. And then Blair gets to the Empire State Building 1 minute late, finds the peonies in the garbage can. And she's like, oh, my God. She runs back. Jenny has nowhere to go because Blair shows up at the Humphreys loft and says, I'm going to give you this smackdown you so rightly deserve. She goes, nobody loves you. And she just absolutely rails Jenny, which Jenny, by the way, deserves. And then Blair leaves and Jenny's like so broken, has nowhere to go. So she goes to Nate's apartment, but Nate isn't there. Only Chuck is there. And Chuck's really drunk. And he's like, I don't play video games. If you want to chill with me, you do what I do. And so they drink together and they end up fucking. And Jenny loses her virginity to Chuck Bass, at which point Blair Waldorf shows back up at the Empire Hotel in the elevator and says, Chuck, and has the peonies from the garbage can. Chuck comes out. Jenny's in his bedroom, has to hide that she's in there. There's a lit candle. He comes out. He's like, Blair. And she's like, I'm sorry. I came to Rhoda, gave birth. Like, that's why I wasn't there. I love you. I'm ready to do this. He's like, I love you too. Like, Jenny blows out the candle. Blair, like, sees the light change in the room and is like, is there somebody in there? Chuck's like, no.
Jenny fucking sucks. Jenny sucks.
Then Jenny goes to, like, sneak out because obviously she does not want Blair to see her there. She goes, and we see this moment that I have never caught in Gossip Girl before. But it's this moment where Jenny goes to, like, make the bed in Chuck's room. And she notices something on the bed. And then the next thing we see is his bed, like, empty. There are no sheets on the bed. And I realized, because obviously she lost her virginity, I realized that she bled on the fucking sheets. So she took them. Yeah. And, like, that's, she, like, goes and she's so upset. And she's talking to Eric. And she's like, I know I told you I had sex with Damien. I didn't. I wanted you to think it. I didn't. And, like, I lost my virginity, Chuck. And so that's why she took his fucking sheets. Because she bled on them and didn't want anyone to know, obviously, that whatever. And then she comes home. Dan finds out. Chuck is proposing to Blair outside. Dan comes up, punches Chuck in the fucking face. Blair finds out that Chuck and Jenny slept together. She says, you're dead to me. She and Serena go to Paris, leave. And Jenny's gone now. That was Jenny's
exit. I hate when they're in Paris.
I do too. But, oh, sorry. I forgot almost the biggest part. Georgina comes back. She's pregnant with Dan's baby.
Thank God.
Dan's trying to buy a plane ticket to Paris to follow Serena because he wants to be with her. And Georgina comes in. She's like, I have a little problem. And she's pregnant. She's like very pregnant.
Yikes.
Like she's like showing big time. So that's the season 3 finale. I'm Jesus sorry. Christ. It's so, I mean, like the fact that they fit all that, it's so good. And we watched it last night and I was just like, and this is like cinema. Like this is season 3 of Gossip Girl is very strong. It's just so good. And I just wanted to really walk you through it, because that episode, when we really get to get in there and we get to recap that together. But I couldn't believe, I was like, what a moment for me to realize that Jenny bled on the sheets. So she takes them. Because I always was like, what, does she take the condom? They don't say it. I was like, what is she doing? Like, is she taking the condom? Like, what is she doing? And then they show his bed with the bare mattress. And I was like, she took the sheets because she bled. Ah! Anyway, it's so good. But like, I hate Jenny. Jenny, get off my screen.
Everybody but Blair sucks.
Yeah, and Anthony like hates Blair, so it's like really tough for me. He loves Serena and loves Dan. I'm like, you're dense. Okay, anyway, let's get into some other news we've got. Oh, wait. I also wanted to acknowledge that one of the best lines in Overcompensating, and we didn't talk about it, but I need to. One of the smartest, best moments of this show is, and I think it's in like the first or second episode, and Carmen and Benny are meeting people in the big circle, and they meet the guy, and his intro is, I'm Amanda Knox's cousin. Yes. I'm sorry. What? Who thought of that? It's genius. It's such a good, like, it is such a fucking funny and like perfectly played.
And nobody's interested. Joke. Nobody's like, well, what do you like, think?
Well, and then Anthony's like, who's Amanda Knox? Anthony asked me, and then Kelly said, who's Amanda Knox? There are people walking around this earth who don't know who Amanda Knox is. And I'm like, so you don't listen to our podcast then? Because we talk about her at least once a month.
Once a week.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, so I guess we're watching the Amanda Knox documentary together, because you need, I'm sorry, I can't believe you and I have been having conversations every day and you don't know who Amanda Knox is, so you don't get how good that fucking line is in this show. Pisses me off. I mean, doesn't it make you mad? I'm like, so you don't get to respect that amazing line of comedy because you just don't know who Amanda Knox is? You think you just get to not know? You don't.
You have to.
You she's, have to.
She's right? Monoculture.
Amanda, okay. Amanda Knox is monoculture. And now we've said it. Amanda Knox is monoculture. And if you don't know who she is, then what are you? You don't deserve to watch Overcompensating until you know who Amanda Knox is. There, I said it. If you haven't watched it yet and you don't know who Amanda Knox is, go watch the documentary. And you're going to be like, wait, they just made me watch the Amanda Knox documentary just for this one fucking line? Yeah, I did.
And now we've said it is the equivalent to our rules of culture.
It 100% is. And now we've said it, Amanda Knox is a monarch. And now we've said it. And now we've said it is our rule of culture. And yes. Now we've said it.
Number 84.
Number 84. No, it's so funny. I just think it's such a funny line. And I have been like, the problem was Phoebe. And like, I love my husband and I love Kelly. But I was watching this episode for the first time with Anthony. And I watched it for the second time with Anthony and Kelly together. And both times, neither of them, like, I couldn't look over at either of them and be like, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh, I just wish Phoebe was here. Because if you and I were watching, it would have been electric. If we had watched that line for the first time together.
The energy in the room would be palpable.
Off the charts is all I'm saying. We would have laughed so hard. You know what I mean?
We would have. Yes.
It's
oh,
it's,
my gosh.
I'm Amanda Knox's cousin. Anyway, so that's what it's called when you take a line and you make a meal of it. Hey, Benny, I just made a meal out of that line that, I don't know, you wrote it, Pat wrote it. Okay, fine, I'll say it. I'm stressed all the time, and it's messing with my hormones. Between work, keeping up with the latest pop culture news, and everything else, I just feel so out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. So I'm gonna help you out. Happy Mammoth offers a free 2-minute quiz that can help you figure out what the heck is causing your hormonal symptoms. It couldn't be easier. And after the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better already. When I took the quiz, it suggested that I might be going through estrogen overload. And I can pretty much blame that for the way I've been feeling. One of the recommendations from the quiz was to take Hormone Harmony, which y'all know we love. And it has literally helped me so much, you guys. I'm less bloated, I'm less tired, and okay, fine, I'm less moody. Since I started taking it, I've noticed such a difference. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now, it's about investing in your long-term health. When you take the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, and you can make small but intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz really helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So,
Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Okay, how about Hailey Bieber selling Road for a billy?
And now suddenly Justin is like posting all these cute supportive pictures with her.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, and okay, look, I don't want to take away from like this accomplishment for Hailey Bieber in any way whatsoever, but because it is, as much as Phoebe hates to admit it, our job to speculate, I'm going to do a little bit of that, okay? The one thing I just keep thinking about is how much
money he owes people.
Yes. And like, didn't he just like sell his masters to pay? Like, he just like willingly sold his.
And I only think for like $200 million.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and I've seen a bunch of that stuff and I'm like, did she want to sell? I mean, it does seem like a great move and she's still going to be involved. I think she's the chief creative officer or something. So like, it's not like she's not involved anymore. But I just, it didn't really seem like the match I was expecting. I'll say it. You know what I mean? Elf, yeah. And Elf also announces they're raising their prices and then they buy Road for $1 billion.
Nothing to disparage Elf, but Road just feels like it. Like if I were to go into Ulta or Sephora, yeah, Road would feel like the more luxurious.
100%.
I can buy it at CVS.
Yes. I think, yeah. So I think it's an interesting move, but I hope that it's not because of him, especially with everything going on. I'm like, people are commenting like, okay, take that money and go divorce him, girl. And I'm like, I think he's why she did it. Like, and again, not that she's not even getting the full billion, like it's like a business deal, I understand that, but I don't know, it's a great move for her, like congrats. I just can't help but feel like there's a little bit of darkness. And I mean, hey, I really like Rode. Like every single Rode product I have ever used, I have loved. And currently in my rotation, I like their lip tint. I like their glazing milk. I like their blush. I think that's all I've used, but like I really like all of them. So sorry, Selena. Speaking of Selena, Taylor and Selena getting dinner. I'm like, okay. Haven't seen them out together in a second. Yeah, but she was only with... I know she went to Dakota the night that she announced it, but she was with, you know, solo with Selena last night. What do you think they talked about?
Blake.
I have to say, Taylor looks like she's like having so much fun with Selena. It's and like, really we sweet. Don't really get to see that a lot. Oh my God. Wait, why did this make me cry? I saw this video of these girls who were sitting, like eating at the restaurant that Taylor went to with Dakota, I believe, and her brother, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So she, which also I was like kind of a serve because like I am like, is Taylor like good friends with all these people or does she like have her? She's like, okay. And I have to rotate my friends, like get dinner with a different friend. Like every, like, you know what I mean? Cause she has,
she texts Tree, hey, do we know anybody that has Dakota Johnson's number? I'd love to
eat with
her.
I'm going to go get dinner with her. I'm also like got the social battery for her to just have all these like dinners, like getting dinner with somebody is like, you gotta be
locked
in.
And for her. It's like a whole
exactly.
Like
it's a whole thing.
You can't just run and go get dinner.
It's impressive. But there were these girls who were eating at the restaurant. And they're sitting outside and Taylor walks in and they like didn't know she was coming. And they're all like big fans. But they were so cute about it. The one girl is obviously filming the moment, but her friend's like, and they like put their hands like, and it looks like their eyes like fill up. Like they're like they, and they don't say a word to her. They're just like, and it was like, it actually gave me chills. It was so cute. Like, it was like this adorable moment. I was like, if Taylor saw this, she bought you dinner because it's so cute the way they react. Like, they are seeing a princess walk into the aww restaurant and they don't bother her at all. They're just like, they feel so lucky and happy to have like gotten to see her. And I just think it's so cute. Anyway,
I love it.
I do think they talked about Blake though at dinner.
They must.
There's no way they didn't. There's
Selena's
no way
low-key giving not Team Blake. And, like, Taylor's having to be, like, Selena.
Selena. I also, okay, in Selena's wedding, is Taylor the maid of honor? Because I can see, even if they're not that close at this exact moment, like, even if they're not close enough for that to be, I could see Selena just doing it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think she'll be in the wedding. For Selena posted for the Masters. So excited for her.
Did you see what Lana Del Rey posted?
That was fake.
It was confirmed fake.
Yeah, it was fake.
Oh my God.
People always do that with her stories. And I always partially fall for it.
Well, I was creating a post of the funniest tweets that I saw about this to post on our Instagram, and that was one of them. So I'm gonna have to delete that because I thought it was real. I was like, if Lana Del Rey, is she posted allegedly the picture of Taylor with all of her albums, and then over it she tagged Scooter Braun and said, "What's up?" or something like, "What's good?" or something like that. And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Not real.
Wow.
But, wow.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I fell for the AI kangaroo.
Is that the kangaroo that was holding the boarding passes? Oh, no.
Is this you finding out that it's AI?
No, bitch, it's not. I saw it and I was like, don't care, and kept scrolling. So I didn't even look at it long enough
to have an opinion.
No, but well, let me tell you,
the internet is in shambles.
That's the kind of content that stops your scroll. Got it.
The whole internet is like, oh my God, if AI can get me, AI can get me.
Hey, look, if you weren't got by Katy Perry at the Met Gala, you were got by kangaroo holding boarding passes.
Because it's like a fighter. For some reason, it didn't even cross my mind that, like, that couldn't be a situation that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think for me, I saw it and I was like, well, kangaroos aren't service animals. And I just kept scrolling right away.
Yeah. But I don't claim to know everything there is to know about service animals.
And that's one of those details.
Caroline, like, expert of swords and service animals and sabers. And you'll know what that means on Thursday.
In the future. And you'll know what that means in the future if you listen to
it. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Patti LuPone for a second.
Yikes.
Patti. So we were kind of like joshing about it a little bit because it was crazy, but neither of us had read the entire article.
It was bad.
I read the part about Audra and I started reading it and then I got pulled away, but I was like, I've got to finish this. Didn't read the entire thing. But like, I just feel like, Patti, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Like, why are you speaking? She absolutely deserved the letter. The letter that came from
And unfortunately, Broadway. I think it will be lost on her.
No, it wasn't. She issued a response. She issued a response. And I was, like, scared. I was like, if she doesn't handle this right, like, this is a big problem. And I just want to say, whoever wrote this for her, good job. Thank God and good job. And here's what it says. And if you guys don't know, Patti LuPone made some really disparaging comments about her fellow Broadway stars. And it got back to them. It got around, I'd say.
Well, it was all in print.
It was in the New Yorker. It was in the New Yorker. All right.
That's drama's favorite.
Well, of course. Mama, did you see this letter from Patti LuPone? It's in the New Yorker. She's kind of being a little bit of a B word. A little bit of a B-I-T-C-H for sure. Blah, blah, blah. The gist of it is, I'm deeply sorry. I wholeheartedly agree with everything that was written in the open letter shared yesterday. You know, I take full responsibility for it. I'm committed to making this right. Our entire theater community deserves better. Like, she said all the right things. Again, whoever said them said all the right things. And I just imagine behind the scenes, Patti's like, are you fucking kidding me? I have to write a fucking letter. Huh? Someone else do it. And then, like, that's what happened. You know what I mean?
That seems like exactly what happened.
But at least she didn't get on the horn herself.
Yeah, and so I was worried.
We'll see. Because As always, actions speak louder than words.
She's so, like, I mean, this interview is case in point. Like,
exactly.
The person who did that interview doesn't strike me as someone who's going to take well to this kind of criticism.
Isn't she the one who was just talking to someone and she was like, just don't go online at all. If you don't go online, you'll always be happy. And like, you won't
I think she was talking George Clooney, maybe.
No.
Didn't they do an Actors on Actors?
I feel like it was not Patti LuPone and George Clooney.
They did, because George, it might not have been that quote, but they were talking. They did an Actors on Actors because they were talking about, he goes, I know how you deal with phones in the theater.
Ah, that's so funny.
Also, like, okay, I don't know how I feel about George Clooney, but what I will say is I think it's very cool that they're able to bring live theater to cable. Like, I think that's I can't believe it's the first time this has ever been done. And the promos have made me like excited. Like, I'm going to watch it. It looks like it's.
Yeah. We're going to watch it
and
too.
And good for George Clooney and good for CNN.
It's very exciting. And it's also, I'm kind of like, because the Tonys are the next day. So why is this the only show that got this treatment? If it sweeps at the Tonys, I will know why. Not that that will be why, but
Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper has lined the pockets of the Tony Academy.
Wow. And now we've said it.
Now we've said it.
Did you see that Sydney Sweeney selling her bathwater?
Yeah, Sydney, what are we doing?
I just like don't know about it. I'm just like,
someone was like, Sydney Sweeney and Sabrina Carpenter like are each other's foils. Like, Sydney Sweeney is low-key Sabrina Carpenter's Wario.
Yes. No, 100%. Expand on that.
Like, Sabrina is, like such a convention. She's a conventionally attractive who people would, like, that is, like, what you would think of when you think of, like, a beautiful girl. So is Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
But Sabrina has decided to be a beautiful girl for beautiful girls.
Yeah.
And Sweeney has decided to be a beautiful girl for gross men.
Thank you. Okay, yes. Exactly. And I'm like,
I mean, get your cash,
get your bag. And like, I'm not trying to tiptoe into the OnlyFans convo about like, is sex work real work? We are support. Okay. But this just feels like not that. This feels like someone who maybe doesn't even need to do that. You know, this seems like someone who is really leaning into like some of the disgusting, perverted things that like men say online about her all the time. And like, yeah, take back the word, take back the power. But I just, it makes me feel weird. Like,
I agree.
And I don't really want to see this continue. Like, I don't want to see more stars like doing shit like this. Like, I just think it's weird. And the fact that it's going to sell out immediately, like, makes me want to vomit. So I'm like, how does she sleep at night? Not because I'm like, oh, you should be so grossed out by yourself at all.
You should be grossed out by these men.
I'm like, ew, like, think about what these men are doing with it. Like, they're these depraved fucking men in your comments and DMs, Sydney. Like, these are the guys buying that. Like, I just am like, protect yourself. I don't know. I just, it feels like a very yucky thing to me. It makes me feel yuck. And I just, like, and I'm also like, you're like a serious actor. I like, don't know that you need to do this.
No. Right? It's like, very weird. Like, I'm like, what, her manager, it's very confusing.
You break off your engagement and you start selling your bathwater. Like,
but she's done stuff with this brand before that has already like made people scratch their heads a little bit, because it's like it's not like a brand that is, I don't know. It just feels like she's feeding into this weird area of her fans.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Which is like, you'll have a lot more success with the girly pops. I promise. Honestly.
Just look at Sabrina.
Literally, like, just, that's a really, really, really good point. Let's also talk about the new Hadid sister. I'm sorry, it's so fucking funny.
The idea of introducing.
And now we're introducing our new sister. Ah, who looks just fucking like them.
Who's a full-grown adult, by the way.
Full-grown adult. Introducing someone who's been on this earth for at least 20-something years. I'm going to go find, like, their statement that they made about it. Hang on one sec. So basically, they just announced their new sister, Aidan Hadid. Oh, I put that on our story already.
Oh, I saw it.
Anyway.
It was beautiful.
Whatever that means. All right, be here now. So they make a statement that says, she was born and raised in Florida and grew up with the man she lovingly knew as her father until a sudden passing when she was 19. After his death, she took a genetic test out of curiosity and would soon realize her biological connection to the Hadids. We first connected in late 2023, and from that moment on, we've embraced her with open arms. She spent time with all of us, including our dad, and we've cherished this unexpected and beautiful addition to our family. As siblings, we've had many open and loving conversations about how to support and protect her, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, she looks exactly like them. What do you do? If you take a genetic test and it's like, hey, Gigi and Bella Hadid are actually your sisters.
I mean,
how do you initiate that conversation with them?
Hey, guys, who would be shocked?
Not me. I mean, none of us would be shocked, obviously, if it happened to us. But like, for someone else who it's not as believable.
Well, it's just like,
for.
I'm sure this is crazy to say, but like, it's probably not the first like DM they've gotten that's been like,
I know,
I'm your long lost sister.
And imagine them like receiving the DM, rolling their eyes, and then looking at a picture of her and being like, wait, fuck.
Wait a second.
Wait, that's our sis. Wait, that is undeniably our sis.
And we've got to introduce her.
We need to introduce her. She needs to make her debut. It's as if they wanted to do like a debutante ball where they're like, and now we're going to use the Victoria's Secret fashion show to introduce our third sister. Like that is, it's like her national coming out party is going to be on the Victoria's
like, imagine finding out you're a Hadid and you like look like a Hadid enough where you can
imagine
like,
being told your whole life, oh my God, you know who you kind of look like? Bella Hadid, you know, and then like being like, okay, yeah, yeah. Because you know, she told one boyfriend one time, she was like, yeah, some people say I look like the Hadids. And he's like, I don't see it. And he was like a total dick about it. I'm making this up. Phoebe's actually mad now. Phoebe's rolling her eyes at this guy that doesn't exist. I made this up. But that happened to her at some point. And now she's like, look at this fucking receipts. Can you guys introduce me so I can fucking prove to all the naysayers that I do look like a Hadid? That the Hadid genes do run deep in this.
Can you guys just introduce me?
Can you guys just introduce me really quick? I think it's so fucking funny. I'm also just like, I mean, yeah, if she didn't look just like them, I think this would have been a wash, but there's no denying when they look. And the whole thing is that apparently once their father and mother were separated and he was single, he had like a one night stand and got this girl pregnant and they didn't find out until 2023.
Crazy.
I know someone in real life that this happened to. And they reacted the same way as the Hadids. They took her in. They took her and her son in. But, like, imagine. I was like, actually, I would never want to know. They were like, we did. Basically, they got a DM from someone being like, hi, I'm your sister. Your dad's my dad. Like, I haven't told him yet. Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, what the fuck is this? And it ended up being legit. But I'm like, I don't want to know. I do not want to think because, like, they found out their dad cheated on their mom.
I know. Crazy. And, like, I mean, obviously, I want everybody to have the opportunity to meet their biological parents if they want that opportunity. Yeah. But I do think that when you're in that position, like, is there any part of you that's thinking about the fact that, like, if you tell these girls that you're their long-lost sister, they're going to have to think about the fact that they're, like, you're telling your dad cheated?
Yeah. You're like, I mean, yeah. But I guess at that point, you're like, well, why do I have to be the one with a fucked up life because of it? You know, if you do, it sounds like this girl was like had a fine life. It wasn't like she was like, and thank God for that, because I can imagine if you have not a great life and then you find out you're Hadid, I'm seeking damages. Yeah, I'd say I'm seeking damages on that one. Okay, let's discuss some reality TV.
Road Warriors, you know we're obsessed with all things Bravo and all things Charleston. So on our most recent trip to the Lowcountry, we had to stop at, by the way, the new neighborhood bar and restaurant from Southern Charm stars Craig Conover and Austin Kroll in partnership with the Uptown Hospitality Group. We celebrated my 30th birthday there, and I have to say, like, the cocktails, the vibes, the service, immaculate. My favorite drink was the lavender gimlet, Empress Gin, lavender, lime, clarified milk. It was so pretty, so delicious. And our group kept those freezing cold martinis and caviar bumps flowing all night long. The atmosphere was exactly what I wanted. It was chic, but cozy, elevated, but welcoming. Think like your dream neighborhood spot that also happens to be Bravo adjacent. And because the night was that good, I had to go back for a dinner date with Anthony. The menu brings an elevated spin to classic tavern fare. Handhelds, crave-worthy kettle chips with French onion dip, literally dream about them. But the best part were the steak frites. Anthony and I split it. It's a grilled prime New York strip with garlic butter, chimichurri, and perfectly crispy shoestring fries. Oh my God. Pro tip, go on a Wednesday during happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. They do half off select wines, bubbles, their signature blade and bow old fashioned, and the steak frites. It's such a steal, and honest, I cannot recommend it enough. So make sure you add By The Way to your Charleston itinerary and follow them on Instagram at By The Way CHS to see the menu, the vibe, and all the Bravo approved bites. And if you go, tell Craig we sent you and save us a martini.
Or actually, no, sorry. There are a couple other things I want to talk about. I did think it was interesting. And let me know how you feel about this. That the first film Ari is announced to be doing after Wicked, after all this talk and fanfare about how she's like the next great actress, is Meet the Parents, the sequel. I'm sorry, I'm just not doing a sequel. I know Robert De Niro's in it, but like, right?
I think that for people older than us, that movie is like, I think that that movie is like, it's like Meet the Fockers. Like, I feel like it's one of those movies that like our parents and all their, like, it's one of those like classics.
True.
So I think that to me, it didn't strike me as a weird move, but I guess I didn't really think about it in that
I
way.
I just really was assuming that her first like entry to the cinema world was going to be like the lead of a new project kind of thing, not the sequel.
It must be a good role. She also is so funny that maybe she wanted to do like something a little
Ben
different
Stiller,
than Wicked.
Yeah, is in it. And I wonder if like, I mean, she is so funny. I'm like, this is the next step. She's like, oh, I can't go on SNL. That would be too much. But I could do this, you know?
That's Bowen's territory.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. It's just not what I expected for her at all.
Yeah. I think that's fair. But I'll be excited to watch it.
Have you listened to any of the new Miley album?
Okay. And by the way, guys, Taylor didn't purposely announce that you could go and listen to the old versions so that she would.
Oh,
first
is that
of all,
what
like,
people are saying?
This idea that like Taylor blocked Miley from a number one when Morgan Wallen's album is number two.
Yeah.
It's like, we should, number one, let's count our fucking blessings. Let's count our blessings for what, no, what debut true. Was able to do. But like, Miley wasn't getting that slot anyway.
No.
And frankly, she didn't do a whole ton of promo.
I was just going to say that Miley started the promo for this album like a month before it was released. It wasn't enough. It wasn't loud enough.
And I haven't really seen a ton about it since.
No. And I'll tell you, I mean, but I don't want to be nasty because she says it's her best album. She thinks it's her best work. And I guess like you always want to feel like that. Like your next album is better than all the ones you've done before. But I just feel like, okay, I guess I hate artistry because I just feel like we're all
trying to. I've always said that about Caroline.
Everyone has. You're not the only one. But I just think that like all these artists are trying to like make the album with the interludes and all the like whatever. It's just like
sometimes
I want easy listening.
Sabrina Carpenter. She knows exactly who she is. No interludes here.
And like Miley has all these interludes, and like it wasn't until the second half of the album that I was enjoying it, and then I was like already kind of tired of listening to it, moving on. And what I'm really looking for, one of the things that like is bumming me out about, not bumming me out, but the reason I couldn't figure out what to listen to when I was driving is like I need an album. I want an album to dive into, to like kind of be obsessed with. There haven't been a whole lot of like
Mount
albums
Joy just released
lately.
The new album.
Okay, I should listen because they're coming here. I think this weekend. Maybe I'll go. But I just was like, this is not what I wanted from you. And I feel bad about that, but I don't need I don't need 4 45-second interludes on your album, right?
I agree.
Am I going to be?
No.
See the comment section now. Summer House Reunion Part 1, thoughts?
Ooh, it's not good for the bed bugs.
Really? Tell me why you think that.
I think it's a really nasty look to be the three women who are laughing along with the men.
I know.
About something that like has anything to do with sex and making another girl uncomfortable. I think it and Paige, I don't like that you were like, I told you not to date him.
I know.
You're older than her. Yeah. She's new. Like
I know that,
and you guys. By the way, you said it, Paige. You said it, but you didn't say it in a way of like really coming at it. Like you didn't say it like you're looking out for her.
Right.
You said it probably in a passing way. You guys made it clear from the start you didn't make it seem like you were super interested in getting to know her.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that she did either, but you guys didn't make an effort to like protect her from Jesse.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think also like. It's not, you know, I know you've known Jesse longer. Yeah, for 1 year. It's not like you guys have that much allegiance. And I can't help but acknowledge that every newcomer who's brought into the summer house, unless they are a man, has a really hard time. Like, women historically
Emeril
are one
said
and done.
I think it was a bad look for production, how they dealt with Emeril.
I mean, Emeril's the exception. But, like, I think that historically, like, the girls just openly accept, like, Luke, Corey Kiefer, like
you just accept that behavior.
Yeah, they accept it from boys, and they, as long as they're not the recipient of it, it's like, well, whatever. And the other thing is just because you warned her that maybe he wasn't a good guy to date does not mean that she like deserved what she got. You know, like it doesn't mean that like it was okay for him to treat her that way because you told her that he might. You know, like he was telling her he was in love with her, all these things, and I think we're not touching on that enough. Like Jesse was fully telling Lexi. Like, he was the one who was, like, setting the tone for how fast this was going to move.
And
she was following his fucking lead. And this idea that, like, she was this crazy girl who... And even the way Andy's saying it, like, oh, Lexi, who wanted to be exclusive from you from day one. It's like, no, he wanted that, too. And his inability to take accountability drives me up a fucking
wall. Dude, we were watching...
We didn't even get to it, really.
And like, he, the way that he is so smug and his little facial expressions that he makes.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Oh, it made me irate. I was actually getting, like, I was fuming watching him. Mm-hmm. I hate when people act like that when they're in the wrong. Like, he
genuinely
reunion,
doesn't think he's in the wrong. He does not think he's gross. In the wrong. And it's because the people closest to him are saying to him, she's crazy. And I'm sorry. I'm so sick of this. She's not crazy. Look at her roster. She's dated all these fucking people. If she was that much of a nightmare, she wouldn't have all these, like, stories. Like, and I don't know. I don't know the girl. Maybe she does suck. Like, who knows? But in this situation, she was not in the wrong. I think she handled this. Like, was she a little messy? Of course, she's 25. Like, who isn't messy? I'm sorry. I'm 30. I'm still messy sometimes. Like, it's okay. And Paige, as if you were not messy, when your first summer in the house, when you're making out with Carl and getting mad at him because he wasn't texting you during the week and you didn't feel like you were getting enough of a commitment from him, because that was your first season, Paige, you know? Like,
I didn't love it. I'm also like, why are we rehashing everything that we talked about last season's reunion with West and Sierra about the press?
I felt the same
everything.
Way. Like, why are we? I mean, we already had this conversation. That Sierra got to like share her story, and like, I definitely didn't know all that. It was nice to have that perspective.
Makes it so much sweeter that she goes to Paige's for the holidays.
I know, and it also makes it really sweet thinking about why she fell so hard for Wes. I mean, we understand now more about why she is so guarded, just what she's had to watch with her mother going through romantic relationships and how that's affected Sierra. And she's trying so hard not to end up in a situation like that. So it really also explains, like, this is why it hurts so fucking bad, Wes. Like, because not only did I let you in, which I never fucking do, I also told you about all this, you know? And I think Sierra has maybe been learning that when you speak about something, it takes some of that power away from it, you know? And so her able to talk about it on the reunion, I really hope that that gives her some, like, freedom from it a little bit, you know? I think it was really brave. I also thought, though, then we get this moment with Lexi saying to Sierra on the commercial break, hey, Sierra, I think you're really strong for sharing that. And me just knowing that Sierra's about to turn around and, like, send it right back down saying, like, all your press was taking hits on me. I didn't feel like it was. I honestly felt like Lexi did the best she could with the questions she was being asked.
Well, it's like
Sierra, you know, as well as we all do, that people are asking questions to get you to trip up, to get you to say the shitty thing. And frankly, for her first season, I think she did a very good job.
And also, Sierra, you were like the way that I would be a little, and especially when Sierra, I feel like, has made it clear that, like, they're not friends. They're not like cool with each other necessarily. Like, and then I see the way you're acting with Jesse on socials and stuff. Like, if I'm asked about it, I might be a little bit like shady, a little bit, even if you ask me to keep your name out of my mouth for the press. It's like, but and that's what we're here to talk about. You're a pivotal part of my storyline.
Right. And I'm also confident that, like, well, it's like, it's not like Lexi's bringing it up all the time. Like, again, she is being asked because, as you said, it's a part of her storyline. So, like, there's just no way that she's not going to have to talk about it, Sierra. Just like, you're not going to be able to not talk about it either. But I don't know. I think that I would like to see Lexi come back. I don't know that she does. There are also a lot of rumors that Paige is not coming back. What do you think about that?
Well, I've heard the rumors that people think maybe the three, Amanda, Lindsay, and Paige at Lindsay's apartment was kind of a setup to a potential spinoff for them.
Whoa. Oh, my God. That
Which
would be
I don't know if that's interesting enough. They're kind of, I love them all.
Sierra would need to be included.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
And the other thing is, I'm kind of sick of Amanda and Kyle. I'm sorry.
I actually feel it differently. I have loved them this season. It's the first season where the spotlight's not on them. Exactly. And Mimi and I were talking about that. We're like, everybody in the cast better be thanking Jesse and Lexi because they got by so easy this season. But I'm this season, I feel like I've been reminded of, like, the things that I do like about Kyle and, like, he's still going out too late, but, like, he's been able to come into his own and find a thing that worked. And Amanda has also become so much more comfortable in her own skin and in the relationship and has been able to let go of some of that
I think anxiety a lot of that comes with from him. The marriage, you know, like, she feels more secure just knowing, like, okay, look, we're married at the end of
but
the
I mean,
day.
But, I mean, last summer they were married, and that was the summer she knocked stuff out of his bag.
I think she's just more, like, settled in now where she's just, like, okay.
And
like,
I think she knows herself better.
And
I mean,
also,
she didn't know what was going on in her head. Mm-hmm. And now that she has a better handle on everything, I've really enjoyed them. Mm. And I just, yeah. I do think Kyle has these moments where he is like, the way that he cares about Sierra is like really sweet to me.
Yeah.
And I, and Mimi and I were also talking, like, it's so funny that Kyle is like this guy that we all like think he sucks, and he does suck a lot of the time. But he also was the first to apologize to Maya when she was in the house and she and Sierra brought to everybody's attention the like microaggressions that they were feeling. You would expect a guy like Kyle to get either super defensive or like angry or like dismissive. And he was the first, and it really like, it seemed like it rattled him. Like, not to give him too much credit, but it just like, he has these, and I think when he is not acting, now that he and Amanda are in a good place, it's easier to see the good in Kyle.
God, I'm so critical of him because, like, I have something for everything you said that makes me, like, he's still a piece of shit. Like, I just can't, because I also see Kyle as someone who consistently sees his life flashing before his eyes. Like, I see Kyle as someone who is always like, how does this affect me and my business? And so in those moments, I don't always think he's doing it because for the right reasons. Like, I think he's like, what is going to show up the best, you know? And the other thing I think about him is that he's a fucking shit stirrer and he likes to be into the drama. So I'm like, yeah, he's going over to Sierra and hugging her, whatever. But he's also the one who sat on the couch and told Lexi, like, started the Sierra feud. You know what I mean? By saying to Lexi, oh, I heard you. You know, like, he likes that. And the other thing, I'm sorry, is, like, I can't forget what he did to Paige this summer. The text that he sent to Paige. Like, I'm sorry, you're out of line. Like, I think he, a few good moments does not, for me, make up for just, like, who I think he is. And, like, his back against the wall, he's not showing good character, in my opinion. Now, one thing I will say, as you're speaking about this, like, if they were to do the spinoff with the three of them, I do think they have an interesting story here with, like, Lindsay's unique motherhood journey where she is, I don't even know if she and Turner are together right now, but she's essentially doing this by herself. Yeah, I think
we'll find out.
Then you've got Amanda, who's like, well, I've been struggling with fertility, but also now I just want to be happy and healthy for a little bit on my own before I introduce a child to this. So she's kind of exploring this, like, moment. And then Paige, who's like, hey, I just froze my eggs and I actually don't have to be in a rush to do this. I want to focus on my business. So you've kind of got three unique, like, motherhood, you know, women in their 30s kind of journeys, which is interesting to watch. But I'm still holding out hope that Lindsay goes to Roni.
Yeah.
But that would make more sense if they were planning on doing that. And then Sierra allegedly is going on Dancing with the Stars. I would feel better about that, you know, like, because in my mind I'm like, well, where does Sierra fall into this? They have to have Sierra there. But if she's off doing Dancing with the Stars,
she's kind of giving friend of
her coming in as friend of, and then maybe joining second season, because I do feel like she maybe is trying to, like, she's branching her wings or branching out a little bit, spreading her wings, you know.
I had a Bravo moment of vindication because right after Summer House ended, my Hulu did the first episode of Winter House. And I have been telling Mimi and Maddie to watch Winter. I was like, when they watched Summer House initially, I was like, you guys should really, like, figure out where you need to insert the Winter House seasons, because first of all, it's where you see Paige and Craig, but it's also pivotal. Like, this information is so important. And it's all these favorite, like, they are watching Southern Charm and they love Summer House. So I'm like,
you have to. It has the
scene, the Austin and Sierra, and then the way that then it'll make more sense when Paige comes down and talks to Austin about Sierra like all this stuff
with all the Lindsay and Sierra stuff and Summer House. Like,
they didn't even know about, like, Lindsay and Austin, and I was like, they watched the, like, this on the season of Winter House, like, this whole, like, the montage of everything that happens, and they were like, maybe we should watch this, and I was like,
oh my god, like, and some of us have been saying that actually. Yeah. Some of us have been saying that.
I'm an evangelical for Bravo.
No, yeah, exactly. And I do think you're right. Like, it's the missing pieces to kind of, like, connect all the dots. You really need
it. It's like missing a Marvel show or a Marvel movie.
Completely, completely. But a show is a better way. Because sometimes it's like, you're going to see all the movies, but you might miss the, like, 10-episode show on Disney Plus because you just don't have it. And then it's like...
But then they talk about it in the movies, and I'm like,
now I need to go get Disney Plus so I can watch this fucking show, which didn't feel as big because it wasn't a movie. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, that's interesting. It's all very interesting. I like it all. I'm excited for this week. I'm nervous because I think we're going to get, like, the bulk of the Lexi Jesse stuff this week. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit nerve-wracking. And can I just say, we're not going to go into the valley, but, like, I cannot
stand Janet. I'm two episodes behind.
I cannot stand Janet.
She's messy as hell. I cannot
stand her in the Valley After shows. I cannot stand her. She just went on the Vile Files. And basically she, listen, you're going to die at this. She says to Nick, well, you've always said that, like, you know, I have an invitation to come on here and, like, refute any of the things that you've said about me. So I saw that in the comments, and I actually went through, and I went through all the transcripts of your show, and I control F searched my name and found every time you talked about me. And I'm coming in here now because I'd like to, like, refute and, like, talk about all the things you've been saying about me. Literally. That is the final boss of hating being misunderstood.
If like, anybody else did that to Nick, though, we'd be like, yes.
Nick was like, yeah, I called you a fucking bitch. I think you suck. Like, Nick was like, yeah, I said all these things about you. And she's like, and I just like to explain why you're wrong. And like, I think she just continued to make herself look like a bitch. Like,
did you watch season one of The Valley?
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, I actually thought she had a pretty, so far from what I've watched, I think it's actually been a good front half of the season for Janet.
Yeah. Well, she talked about in the Vile Files, which I appreciated. She was like, I did act like I was the only pregnant person, the only person who's ever been pregnant in the world. And like, whatever last season, and like watching back, I'm like, okay, like you were a little ridiculous with this and with this and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. I don't know. I do not like her. And the other thing with Jasmine, I completely fucking forgot. I knew she was in The Bachelor. I could not remember which season. Yeah. I forgot it was Nick fucking Vile yeah. season, which makes it so much funnier to have him talking about it. But they're talking about how, you know, Jasmine is so upset about Danny putting his hand on her leg and saying, go get daddy a drink, which I'm also like, every single one of my friends would say that, like guy friends, straight or gay, would say that to me. And like, I get it. Like, you felt uncomfortable. I'm not trying to minimize that experience. However, for her to still be like a year later, he's now like in the most recent episodes, he's going to have to bring them, her and Michelle, out to apologize to them again. Like, he is doing all these apologies. Jason sends her husband to go talk to Danny about how he needs to apologize again, like how it's still upsetting everybody. Like, and Janet's just getting all involved. She doesn't need to be. And I want to say, when I see the clip that resurfaces of Jasmine reaching across and choking Nick at their dinner date, and Jasmine's all upset about somebody touching her without her consent, and she's literally blackout drunk, choked. She's like, I want to choke you out. And she grabs Nick's neck multiple times in this scene, choking him. And he's like, yeah, it's still like an apology from Jasmine for touching me without my consent. Because she did it to me too. But I am like, it is to know that you have one of those moments on camera circulating.
I feel like she doesn't really have this season. I think last season, I feel like she got a little bit of flack for not really having a storyline. Mm. And so maybe she wants.
So we'll just use this one again. Make it bigger. Yeah. I just don't love it. Anywho, that's all I have to say about Bravo. Do you have any other Bravo notes?
No. We're kind of in a slow season.
Yeah. But things are about to pick up this week because we're getting Love Island USA. I am so fucking excited for it. I'm so excited. What?
I need it.
I thought you said I hate it. I was like,
no, I need it. I
hope you made you love to hate it. Guys, we will be talking about Love Island. So hopefully you guys are watching, because realistically it will make its way into every single one of our episodes from now until it's over. So get on board. All right, let's get into our rotations. I know I'm first. Okay, first up, I'm going to put that line in overcompensating. I'm Amanda Knox's cousin. I think it's fucking fabulous. So that's got to be in there. Number two in my dream rotation, I am putting salmon. I've been eating salmon again. I fucking love it. Phoebe doesn't like it.
Yeah, which but is I do bullshit. Like, I like salmon sushi.
Okay, well, that's I don't like salmon sushi, but I love salmon.
I don't
salmon.
Like cooked fish.
So weird. I mean, but I just love it. I'm not like even like a big fish person. Yeah, so salmon. And then third, I'm going to go ahead and put Lord, my girl. I'm loving the new music. I feel like once I have the whole album, it is going to be, it's such prime driving in Pittsburgh music, and you know it. And I can't fucking wait for it. I'm loving the two songs we have so far. Just so great. So that's my dream. Pretty boring. So boring, in fact, that Phoebe is completely yawning. Holy moly, you guys heard that right? Phoebe, don't let out your yawn.
I'm sleepy.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Of course I'm sleepy, Phoebe.
I was born sleepy.
Number
one is me, because, well, I didn't think that I didn't.
Your nightmare?
Because I have been so bad at grocery shopping, and now like, I gotta go grocery. I've been like, Mimi's a quality time person, and I've been trying to be better about that. So
you guys
will
grocery shop together.
Well, she doesn't like grocery shopping. She orders her groceries.
Okay. All right. Mimi, a girl after my own heart.
I don't really like grocery shopping with people. I like to,
that's so weird and unlike you. Oh, wow.
So, but I will go over where I grocery shop is close to Mimi's apartment. And so I've been like getting a Starbucks and then taking it. And then I get to a point where I'm like, I am not going grocery shopping.
Yeah. That's like, but you can't go after because then all your things will get
worse. Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
that's a dilemma. I think you might just have to say, you might have to make a sacrifice, and so might Mimi. And grocery shop together every now and then. Or like be like, look, I'm going to do the bulk of my grocery shopping by myself, but then let's go to Trader Joe's together and let's just get some fun little snacks. You know what I mean? Like, it's way more fun to roam the aisles at Trader Joe's.
But I just, and I also just like can't think of what I want to make for dinner. I was in such a good groove for so long of like
cooking. You really were.
And now I feel like my travel, I like was in Nashville for so long. And then I like did a, I hadn't traveled in a long time, and then I traveled and now I'm like all out of whack.
Yeah.
Next is going to be, oh, also me. Well, I just got a new TV stand from Taylor. Taylor was very generous.
Love.
And gave me her TV stand, but it is the heaviest thing in America. And we were able to get it in my car. And I actually have to drive about 3 inches from the steering wheel for it to have fit. It fits. I did the measurements. Like I was right. It does fit in the car, but not comfortably for anybody. And also now,
doesn't
like,
sound
I
like
can't,
safely either.
I can't get it out of the car on my own. And I like have to figure out when I'm getting friends here.
Sounds like when me and mom come, we're
help
that's
me.
What we're
well,
doing.
No, because I'm going to Bonnaroo, so I have to get it out of the car before that. And I have to pick you guys up from the airport. So
when is Bonnaroo?
2 weeks. Eek. But anyway, so there's that. I think I'm gonna have
Mimi's. So what is that like, on your is that on your rotation
that or? Situation the situation that I know that oh, that's in okay. my car right now, and when I get in the car I'm gonna have to do yeah. I'm gonna have to think about that whole situation.
Okay.
Last is the New York Knicks, because I don't care about basketball at all. I've never Pittsburgh doesn't have a basketball team,
okay,
so I've never
Phoebe,
been interested.
Come on, you do care about one thing. Kylie and Timmy.
Exactly. This
we're
is what I
a lot
mean.
Of them.
I am sad now that we're done. And like just all, it's been really cool to see everybody that lives in New York come together and like all these different celebrities go. I didn't like the Knicks haven't been in the playoffs in like
they've sucked.
Decades. So it's been really cool to see. And it's been cool to see like them become friends, like celebrities become friends with each other through like Spike Lee and Timothy Chalamet. It's like, it's like, would they ever be friends in another situation? And
Timmy's like, hey, I want to be one of the greats.
Yeah.
I got you.
But now the Knicks have lost. So it's not Knicks in six. It's
so
Knicks
Kylie's not getting laid. Until I went again.
Did you see what she reposted? This
yes. She reposted the Samantha saying, if the Knicks lose, I don't get laid. So fucking funny. I love it. I love the transparency, Kai. King Kylie.
Yes. I love it. So that's my rotation. It was a terrible one, but that is how I'm feeling now by Charlie XCX.
There you go. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you want us to talk about next week. Let us know what shows you are watching, what we should be tuning into. What are you listening to? We want to know. Last week on the Patreon for Honorary Connell Sisters, we did our pilot recap of Smash, and it was smashing, I'd say. It was frankly smashing.
Right.
And I plugged it on Thursday, but I've been doing this new thing where I drop tea with lots of personal details on Patreon.
I've been doing this new thing.
And it's been fun. I've done the past two episodes. So go check those out. And maybe Phoebe will start being forthcoming. Doubt it, but maybe she will. What else? I think that's
I kind of said something about something.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so we're both dropping tea. Phoebe's getting there. She's getting closer. I'm the Matt Rogers. You're the Bowen in this moment. Or Matt's like, just share, Bowen. And Bowen's like, I am. Anyway, and then on Thursday, we're recapping season 7, episode 6 of Pretty Little Liars. Go listen to that. It was a doozy, guys. I don't wanna throw anyone under the bus, but there's a major continuity error. We hit we hit on right away. So go check that out. All right, guys, we love you so much. Please leave us a 5-star rating and let everybody know how much you love this podcast. We will see you next week.
And splat.